Welcome to the program Old Testament Prophets with Father Mitch Pacwa.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. The peace of God be with you all. I'm Father Mitch Pacwa, a Jesuit priest and a professor of Old Testament at Loyola University in Chicago. And we're going through the first six chapters of the prophet Jeremiah. These are oracles proclaimed by Jeremiah around the year 627, a time when the king of Assyria, Ashurbanipal, has already died, and his kingdom is taken over by a much weaker son, and the kingdom is starting to decay. And at the same time, the king of Judah is the young Josiah, just turned 21 in this year, and it's a time of crisis. Jeremiah is speaking to the people of Judah saying, look, stop acting like the Assyrians. That's the way of death. That's the way of destruction. Stop using paganism. Stop using idolatry. Stop using the harlotry of following other gods. Because the Lord, Yahweh, is the only God. And unless you stop worshiping other gods and worship only Yahweh, you will die. And so it's at this point that we come back to the prophet Jeremiah. I'd like you to open up your Bibles to chapter 5, verse 10. That's where we left off. And we see here that at this point, the Lord is summoning a destroying enemy. Now, we're not sure who this enemy is. The Bible doesn't say anything about Scythians, that is, people who come from what we now call Russia. But there is mention of a Scythian invasion by the Greek historians. And it may well be that this enemy from the north are the Scythians coming down upon Judah and Jerusalem. So let's see what Jeremiah has to say about that. Y'all go up to her in rows, and you destroy. So here, picture an army, row after row, a soldier, and told to go up to her, that is to Judah, to destroy her. But don't make a complete end of her. Prune her shoots, for they are not Yahweh's. Now, a couple things here. They're told to come and punish Judah, but not wipe it out completely. They're forbidden to do that. Okay? But they are to prune it. And this is very much like what we see in the Gospel of St. John, chapter 15, where Jesus says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch that bears fruit, he will prune. Because what happens is that branches bear extra, shoots that come off of the branch, and they won't produce any grapes, so you cut them off, because then the sap, instead of going to make these new branches, will go off into the grapes themselves and bear more fruit. And that is something like Jeremiah's understanding of punishment, that it's to prune off these shoots so that the sap will go from the branch that would have grown, and it now goes into the fruit itself and just produces more fruit. In other words, punishment is for the sake of bearing more fruit, that is, for the sake of more righteousness. So that's Jeremiah's perspective too. And then he gives the reason for summoning this army to attack Judah. He says, for the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously with me, says Yahweh. They didn't just trick one another. That's bad. But they didn't just trick the foreigners. That's bad too. But they tried to be treacherous with me. And that is intolerable, to trick God. They tried to trick God and they said, it's not him. It's not God. And no evil shall come upon us. We won't see the sword of the famine. In other words, what's God going to do? I mean, he doesn't care. He's not going to bother to punish us in this life. Don't worry about it. He's not going to send any armies against us. And they said that the prophets are going to become like wind. There's no word in them. They're just air. They're just puffs. In other words, they denied the words of the true prophets, like Zephaniah and Jeremiah. And they probably killed a number of prophets during the reign of King Manasseh and his son Amon, who were very pro-Assyrian and anti-Yahweh. And as a matter of fact, they even say, let whatever the prophets say happen to them. So let them be punished by their own words. That's what the people are saying to Yahweh. Therefore, verse 14 starts off with the doom that Yahweh, the God of hosts, is going to bring about. It says, because you speak this word, because you talk like this, that I'm not going to do anything, because you say that my prophets are just wind, therefore, this is what's going to happen to you. I will make my words in your mouth like fire, that they will just come inside your mouth and burn you up from the inside of your mouth. Whew, that's not good. This people will be wood, and the fire shall devour them as well. So you say my word is wind? I'm going to tell you that it is fire, and my fire is going to burn you up because you won't accept it. If you do accept it, my word is life. If you reject it, it's a fire that consumes. It all depends on you and your choice. For I will bring a nation upon you from afar, O house of Israel, says Yahweh. And it is an enduring nation. It's an ancient nation. A nation whose language you don't even know. You can't even talk to them. You won't be able to talk them out of it because you don't speak their language. Neither will you understand what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher, a grave. That is, the quiver is what you hold the arrows in, right, on your back. And their quiver is an open grave because everything that comes out of there is going to kill you. And they are all mighty warriors. They shall eat up your harvest and your bread. They shall eat up your sons and your daughters. They shall eat up your flocks and your herds, your vines and fig trees. They'll batter down your fortified cities where you trust, and they'll do it with their sword. So you will have nothing left, because my word is a fire that brings these peoples out of the north to attack you, Judah, and you're going to lose. But even in those days, says Yahweh, I won't completely destroy you. In other words, the Lord will leave a remnant of his people, just like the prophet Isaiah had said. And he goes on to say here, and it shall come to pass when you say, why has Yahweh our God done all these things to us? And then shall you say to them, that is you, Jeremiah, will explain to them why all this happened to them. Because just as you have forsaken me, all you people forsook me, Yahweh, and you people serve strange gods in your land, foreign gods, so shall you serve strangers and foreigners in your own land. In a land that is not even yours, they will take you away to another country, to Babylon, and you will serve strangers there. You brought foreign gods into my country, I'll take you into foreign country. In other words, this is a very strong biblical tradition that the punishment fits the crime. They worshiped foreign gods, now they will serve foreign peoples. We just saw in chapter 5, verse 19, that the people of Judah are asking the prophet Jeremiah, how come the Lord has done all this to us? Why? Now, verses 20 to 31 answer that question in greater detail. They probably pushed Jeremiah, so he's going to say, all right, push me. I'll give you an answer, and you're not going to like it. He says, the Lord tells Jeremiah to say, You declare this in the house of Jacob and announce it in Judah. Hear now this, you foolish people without understanding, that have eyes and see not, that have ears and hear not. Now, notice here, where it says they have eyes and see not, and ears and hear not. That's a quote from Psalm 115, verse 5. And in that psalm, the psalmist is saying that the idols made by the nations, these graven images, have ears but don't hear, and have eyes but don't see. But now what was said about idols in Psalm 115 is now applied to the people. Why? Because Psalm 115 also says, everybody who worships idols that don't see and don't hear shall become like them. The people of Judah have worshipped idols and they have become deaf and blind, just like their idols. And so then he asks a question. Won't you fear me, says the Lord, Yahweh? Won't you tremble at my presence? See, this is the beginning of true wisdom, to fear the Lord. We see that in also one of the Psalms, Psalm 111. And don't you understand that it was I who put the sand on at the edge of the seashore, and I made an everlasting law that cannot change, that no matter how the waves toss around on the sea, yet they cannot overcome the seashore. I set a bound to the limits of the sea. Even though they roar as waves against the land, they shall not overtake the land. Don't you see that I control all the forces of order and chaos? The sea is chaos, the land is order. I control that, I set that up, and yet you would not fear me. You know I'm powerful. And it says in verses 23 to 28, why the people won't fear. They won't fear because they have a revolting and rebellious heart. A heart that wants to revolt and do whatever it pleases. They don't want to obey God's law. And they're rebellious. And they revolted and gone. They don't say in their heart, let us now fear Yahweh our God, who gives the early rain and the later rain in its due season, and that keeps for us the appointed weeks of the harvest. They don't realize that Yahweh set up the whole system of nature, that if they obey the Lord and all His laws, that people will be able to live through quite successfully if they just fear the Lord. As a matter of fact, a lot of times, I think that the Lord tells us not to commit sin, because when we commit them, we break laws of nature that bring harm upon us. The best example is drunkenness. When you're drunk, you get a hangover. And the Lord says, don't get drunk simply because you get a hangover. It's just a result of it. But people won't listen to the Lord. They won't fear Him, and so they reap what they sow. It is your sins and iniquities that have turned away these things, that is the rain and all the things you need for life, all the things I set up for your good. And your sins have held good away from you. They held it back from you. That's why you suffer, because you sin, and the very sin you commit prevents you from experiencing the goodness of creation. And among my people, there are wicked people. There's some who actually want to do bad things. You know, a lot of times we hear about violence in the news and such and say, oh, that's sick. 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 We're talking sick. A lot of these people are just doing evil because they're wicked. They choose to do something bad, not because they're sick. Don't blame them on the crazy people for this. It's not just them. It's people who choose that. And if we have wicked people among the people, among our nation, that we're setting ourselves up for all kinds of problems. They're like fowlers. They prowl around. They lie in wait. They set traps. They catch people. Like a cage that's full of birds. So are their houses full of deceit. And they become great and they become rich. They become important through selling drugs, for instance, in our culture. People become millionaires overnight. And even sometimes legitimate businessmen, so-called, are able to launder this money and all that kind of stuff. And they think that they're going to escape God's judgment? Baloney sausage. Baloney. They get fat. They become sleek. They exceed the deeds of wickedness. They don't defend the cause of the orphans. And they don't, so that they can make themselves prosper. They don't care about the weak, the poor, the ones who don't have enough food. They don't care about the rights of the needy. They don't judge them. Shall I not punish them for all these things, says Yahweh? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Any nation, Judah of old times, or United States, or Russia, or any other country that oppresses its people, that where there's some people who make themselves great at the expense of the others, such a nation will experience God's vengeance and punishment. And we have to just accept that. That's the only way that leads to salvation for such a nation. And it will happen by a scary and horrible thing that will come to pass. For the prophets prophesy in the service of lies, and the priests, you know, do whatever they please. They sort of wait for their hand to get filled. They do things only for money. And my people love it that way. They don't want to hear good things from the prophets. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want to hear God's law from the priests. They want to do what they want. And so what can I do with that? Nothing. Jeremiah goes on in chapter 6, verse 1 through 8, with warning them of an attack. This is the punishment God will bring them. He says, "Hide, you children of Benjamin," that is the territory just on the northern border of Judah. "Go away from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the horn in Tekoa," which is in south Judah, "and set up a signal on Beth Harem." Now, Beth Harem means the house of the vineyard, and it's just next door to Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. And it was a signal mountain, used even in modern times as a signal mountain, because it's so high. "Because evil looks from the north, and a great destruction." So Jeremiah says, watch, Judah. Look all around the country, in the north, the south, and the middle. The enemy from the north is coming down to attack. And they come to the meadow that is luxuriant. And the daughter of Zion, that is Jerusalem, I will cut off. Shepherds with their flock come to her. They pitch their tents against her around about, and they feed everywhere until there's no grass left, until it's all bare. In other words, the enemy is compared to a shepherd coming down to attack beautiful Judah and eat up all the grass that has destroyed the whole nation. And so they yell out, "Prepare war against her. Arise, let us go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day is going down, and the shadows of evening are stretched out." In other words, the enemy soldiers are saying, "Oh, you know, let's keep working all day long, and oh, it's too bad, it's night. Woe to us, it's night, because we want to kill Judahites all day long." They say, "Let us go up by night, let's destroy her palaces even at nighttime." That this enemy is eager to destroy and punish. And the reason for this in verses 6 and 7 is that Yahweh ordered this. Yahweh told them to come. Yahweh ordered this enemy to chop everything down and destroy it. And only in verse 8 we say, Jeremiah speaks to them, says, "Look, Jerusalem, receive correction. Or else my soul, says Yahweh, will be wrenched out of you, and I will make you desolate, a land not inhabited." So even here at the end, with all this enemy, he says, "Repent, Jerusalem, repent." But they won't. We're continuing with Jeremiah chapter 6, which are his oracles of the attack of the enemy from the north against Judah because of the sins of Judah. And so he goes on in verses 9 through 15 to talk about how this attack will take place because the people are so corrupt. He starts off in verse 9 with, "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, that they," that is the enemy from the north, "shall thoroughly glean as like a vine, the remnant of Israel. Turn again your hand like a grape gatherer upon the shoots." What does that mean? Gleaning is when you go over the field after it's been harvested once. So you harvest it once, but always some gets left behind. And gleaning is going over that again and picking up whatever was left behind, the few grapes or the few bits of wheat or whatever that are left on the ground. This enemy is going to glean Judah. That is, it's going to punish Judah thoroughly and get all the remnants of that are left behind and take them up and punish them. But then in verse 10, Jeremiah speaks about the corruption from his own experience of it. And this is Jeremiah himself speaking, not a word of the Lord, his own word. It says, "To whom shall I speak," that is I, Jeremiah, "and give warning that they may hear? Their ear is uncircumcised, they can't hear, they can't pay attention. The word of Yahweh has become a reproach to them. They have no delight in it." In other words, Jeremiah says, "Look, I'm preaching to these people and they won't listen to me. They don't pay attention. Therefore, I am full of the fury of Yahweh." Jeremiah so much feels this anger of the Lord that he feels full of this anger. He's just full of God's wrath himself. And he says, "I'm sick and tired of holding it in. I've got this anger in me because I see the corruption and I can't hold it in anymore. So I pour it out on those babies, ones who suckle. in the street. When I see kids, I yell at them. That's what he's saying. I can't hold in God's anger. I got to preach to somebody. I talk to the kids, to the teenagers. I talk to husbands and wives together. I talk to the old people who can't do anything anymore. I just got to preach about this wrath of God because it's just burning up inside of Jeremiah. And we'll see that this is an experience he has at other times as well. He's just full of the fury of God. And then he goes on to describe the punishment that will take place. Their houses shall be given to other people, their fields and their wives together. As a matter of fact, it's an idiom in Hebrew that to plow somebody else's field was a euphemism for having adultery with somebody else's wife. That's why the field and the wife go together here. You see that in the book of Judges with the story of Samson. And I will stretch out my hand upon the people who live in the land, says Yahweh. So now Yahweh is speaking about the punishment he'll bring about, that they're going to lose everything, their houses, wives, and the fields. And he says in verse 13 and following, the reasons for this punishment, why will I punish you? Because from the least of them to the greatest, everybody is greedy for gain. That is, they all want a bribe. They all want a handout. Nobody is happy with what they've got through just action and just wages. They want more. They want what the other guy has. They want what Mr. Jones has. They want to keep up with the Joneses, and they're always looking for a handout. Give me something on the sly. They do their business way in crooked ways instead of doing honest business. Even the prophet and the priest, everybody is a liar. They all deal falsely. And these prophets and priests have healed my people's hurt lightly. In other words, they take the sin of the people, that is the prophets and the priests, and say, hey, it's no big deal. Don't worry about it. I don't even want to hear your confession. Don't worry about it. It's no big deal. And not treating sin seriously, by treating it so lightly, means that it doesn't get healed. It's like saying, oh, cancer, don't worry about a cancer. It's just like a pimple or something. Don't worry about it. It'll take care of itself. Baloney. The priests and the prophets say, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Why talk about peace when there's war, when there's hatred and violence in our cities? They who do that shall be put to shame because they have committed something abominable. Yet they are not all ashamed. They don't even know how to blush for the things they do. Therefore they shall fall among those who are already fallen. In other words, the people who speak about peace when they see violence all around them shall themselves be killed. That's why they're going to fall. And they'll fall among those who already have been killed by violence. That's what's going to happen to those who speak peace when there is no peace. At that time I shall punish them and they shall stumble, says Yahweh. And verse 16 to 21 talks about how the people won't listen to the warnings. Thus says Yahweh, you stand in the ways, you stand in various roads, and you see. Ask for the old paths. In other words, when you have a number of choices to make, you have a whole bunch of roads that you can choose. Don't choose the new way of doing things. Don't look for something new, like St. Paul says, something that will tickle your ears. You want a new doctrine or something like that. The Lord says here, ask for the old paths. Like the song says, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, give me that old time religion, it's good enough for me. That's what the Lord is saying right here. Give me that old time, the old path, the old time religion. Look for the good way and walk on the good way. And you shall find rest for your souls if you walk on the good way. And they said, we won't do it. No, we're not going to. And then I set watchmen over you, people to watch you, to attend to the sound of the horn. And they said, no, we won't do it. We won't listen to the warnings. The horn symbolizes the warnings of God. And so therefore he says, listen, you nations, you hear. And know, O gathering, O congregation of Israel, what is against them. Hear, O earth, look, I'm bringing evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not listened to my words. And for my teaching, they have rejected it. They won't pay attention. And because of that, I summon you four nations to come and destroy them. They wouldn't follow that old-time religion. They wouldn't follow the old paths of goodness. But instead, they do what they want. I don't want your sacrifices. I don't need those. I want your good deeds. Repent or be destroyed, says the Lord to Judah.